The scripture reading for this morning is from Matthew 26, beginning in verse 30. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, the text for this sermon we find in Matthew 26, verse 38. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. Congregation, this night in Gethsemane is a mystery for us. We do not dare to break into this secrecy. It would not be pious, for that what takes place here between the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, no human eye has ever seen it. No human ear has ever heard it. So we need in this sermon respect and diffidence, maybe even hesitation, when we meditate what has happened there in the Garden of Gethsemane. How could we penetrate into the deep and fathomless thoughts which are exchanged between the Father and His Son? There has been no other moment like this during the more than 30 years of Christ on earth. Nevertheless, the Scripture does speak about this moment. All four evangelists mention the temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Not to give us any insight in the relationship between the Father and His Son. This agonizing story is not passed down to following generations of the Christian Church to show us the relationship between the Divine Father and the Divine Son. A different relation is at stake here, the relation between Jesus and His disciples. As is written in Romans 15 verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." That is why the Holy Spirit has moved Matthew, Mark, Luke, as well as John to write down this dark scene in the dark garden. May the Lord give us both the right distance and the right nearness to see this so moving mystery. May the Lord give us His Spirit in order that we may see in faith. Congregation, let us pause this morning at the struggle in Gethsemane. That is the theme which we want to place above the sermon, the struggle in Gethsemane. 3 points need our attention. First, Jesus' request. Second, the disciples' answer. Third, the Father's answer. So, the theme is the struggle in Gethsemane. The first point of attention, Jesus' request. Second, the disciples' answer. Third, the Father's answer. In the first place, Jesus' request. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane." That's how verse 36 starts. Then is when they had sung the hymn. What we read in verse 30. "Then is when all the disciples had said, Thou all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Then is when they all, with Peter in front, had confessed, Thou I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. If necessary, they all said, We are prepared to die with thee. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place." We see them go, this group of 12 men. They leave the town of Jerusalem at the eastern side going down the hill. They enter the valley of the brook Kidron. The garden is at the other side of the brook. Without any difficulty, they can see the path in the clear light of the full moon, for it is just a few days before Easter, and the feast of Easter always takes place when it is full moon, always on the 14th of the month Nisan. Nobody speaks a word. Each of them is filled with his own thoughts. The 11 disciples are still filled with their own brave promises and their heroic vows. Peter is still filled with the words he has spoken, "Thou all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And Jesus, which thoughts fill up the mind of Jesus? Maybe he thinks of his forefather David. David was here so many centuries ago. David made this journey too. We read in 2 Samuel 15 that he left Jerusalem because of his son Absalom, who wanted to kill him. We read how all the people wept when King David crossed the river of Brook. Isn't it possible that Jesus is thinking of this? For he is the true son of David. He is, as it were, David himself. Even a few days ago, the people of the city had confessed it aloud. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Indeed, he is the true Son of David. He is David, even in this humiliating way. What thoughts fill the mind of Jesus? Should not his thoughts be filled with that other garden, even many more centuries before David? Jesus knows what is awaiting him in the garden, for he knows what once happened in that other garden, the Garden of Eden. In the first garden, humanity is fallen. In the first garden, the first Adam yielded to temptation. Then the serpent won. Might the second Adam fall as well? Will Jesus be defeated by the same old serpent? No. David had to flee unwillingly. He was forced by the threatening rival of Absalom. When David crossed the river brook, all the country wept with a loud voice. But the great Son of David goes freely and willingly. Nobody coerces him. Nobody forces him to cross the brook in order to meet, as it were, this old serpent once again. Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Jesus knows that Judas is acquainted with this garden. He knows that Judas will bring the soldiers directly to Gethsemane. Yet Jesus does not flee. On the contrary, willing and freely he goes to the garden. He goes to be captured. In the silence of the night, Jesus and his disciples arrive at the garden. It is a small olive garden on the slope of the Mount of Olives. A stone wall is built around it. 8 of the 11 disciples stay at the entrance. Jesus tells them, "Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder." 3 disciples enter the garden together with their master. They are Peter, John, and James. They had been present when Jairus' daughter was brought back to life. They also have been present on the Mount of Transfiguration. Maybe they recall that moment and recall with shame how they then fell asleep. In fact, they slept before they were awakened by Jesus' magnificence. Maybe they recall the words of Moses and of Elijah spoken there. Luke tells us that Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus about his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. In silence, these 4 men enter the garden. Verse 37 says, "And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." He began to be sorrowful. A change takes place. Jesus becomes sorrowful and, as the Dutch translation says, he becomes very afraid, anxious. He had been without fear when he chased away the merchants in the temple. He had been without fear when he punished devils and spirits. He had lashed out at the Pharisees with his words without any sign of anxiety. But now he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Jesus, who had never known any fear, now trembles. Sweat is on his face. His eyes are wide open. Tears stream over his cheeks. He shakes and trembles. Great awe is upon him. In this situation, in this moment, the first and unique request comes from Jesus. Never before and nowhere else do we read in the Word of God that Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God, has an urgent request to human beings. Only here we find an appeal by the Son of God for help in need. Verse 38, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me." These words from verse 38 are a quote from Psalm 42 and 43. There we find, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me?" These words are quoted here by Jesus. In the English translation we can no longer see, neither in the Dutch translation, that these words are a quotation from Psalm 42 and 43. But from the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, it is evident. That is why we sang Psalm 42 at the beginning of the service. "Why, O my soul, art thou cast down within me? Why art thou troubled and oppressed with grief? Why restless? Why cast down, my soul?" Jesus even adds some words to the words of the psalm. He says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." He says, as it were, "This sorrow brings me to the brink of death. If my sorrow would become heavier, I would not survive. I am sorrowful even unto death." And here comes his request to his three disciples, "Tarry ye here and watch with me." We have to notice that Jesus does not ask them to pray for him. He even does not ask them to pray with him. He only requests them to watch with him, to stay awake. What does this mean? Suppose that parents have a child who has to go to hospital. The child is severely ill and needs a dangerous operation. What do the parents do? They cannot operate on their son or daughter themselves. They cannot help or assist. They cannot give their child strength or healthiness. In fact, they cannot do anything. How helpless do parents feel in such a situation? Yet, they can do one thing, an important thing. They can be present. They won't leave their little son alone. They cannot leave their little daughter alone. They go with the child to the hospital and they sit next to the bed. They watch. They hold the hand of their beloved. In such a situation, you refuse to go away. You refuse to leave the little child. Maybe you once sat near the deathbed of your father, a mother, or of a dear friend. We cannot bring him or her on the narrow path of death. The transition of the Jordan as the river of death, everybody needs to go alone. Nevertheless, we sit next to the bed of our parent and we take his or her hand in our hands. We wait and watch it at the deathbed. We want to be there and to see how our beloved breath their last. Could you afford to sleep in such a moment? Could you afford to leave the beloved in such a moment of loneliness? No. Maybe you have once been through an operation yourself, or you once had a difficult and anxious moment in which you were alone. How precious is then, at such a moment, the presence of friends. How precious is the presence of somebody who watches with you. Exactly this is what Jesus asks. His question to his disciples is to be present, to watch. He knows that they cannot help him. He knows that he has to go his way of suffering alone. He knows that he only can bear the wrath of God against the sin of all mankind. His saving work, his passion, his suffering must be completely in the stead of the sinners. That is why the Savior does not ask his disciples to pray for him. That is why he even does not ask them to pray with him. His request is that they will be present, and that they watch with him, and that they watch him. He only beseeches that they be present, and that his disciples will realize how abhorrently deep his passion is, that they watch with him in his agony. Dear congregation, this morning the same request of the Savior comes to us. He asks the same from you and me. He wants us to become silent this Sunday morning, to pause for a moment and to contemplate his suffering. The story of his agony in Gethsemane is not mentioned in the Holy Scriptures to give us an account of the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. It is written for the sake of the relation between Christ and his disciples from all centuries. This is his question: watch with me. Jesus does not ask any of us to suffer with him. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. This petition is not about prayer for him or with him. He even does not ask us to fathom or to understand what happens in the garden. It is a mystery, and we cannot comprehend it. Let this morning be a moment of meditation. Let this moment be a moment of reflection. We have to underscore that the Lord does not ask us if we could anyway understand the depth of his suffering, if he could comprehend his agony. Even less does he ask us to go experimentally the same way of despair and suffering. This is what he asks: watch with me. This is his request: be present, be, as it were, an eyewitness. Too often we seek for experimental signs in ourselves. Too often we look after some experiences which we think we need, which God asks from us. But see what the question is of the sorrowful Christ: tarry ye here and watch with me. Let's consider our second point: the disciples' answer. We read in verse 39, "And he went a little further." After his petition, Jesus goes a little further. Luke says, "He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast." This is not unimportant to notice. We can see from this that the Lord seeks the silence of being alone. He wants to pray alone. At the same time, he does not want to be so far as to be isolated. He goes far enough that he can be alone, but not so far that his disciples could not see him. They have to watch him to be able to watch with him. Jesus seeks the loneliness, but not the isolation. As we saw before, the night is clear. The light of the full moon is there. In this light, the disciples are able to see him, to watch their master. They see how he falls on his face and prays. They see how his sweat is, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. All these three disciples, John, Peter and James, they see it. They also do hear him. Maybe even the eight disciples at the entrance of the garden are able to hear the cries of the Lord. For we read in Hebrews 5, verse 7, that Jesus offered his prayer with strong cryings and tears. His fear and sorrow, his inner pain and agony, makes him cry. With all the power of his heart, with all the air in his lungs, does he pant. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. So cries the Christ. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And the disciples, what do they do? When they were on the mountain of the Transfiguration, they didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus had not told them before what was coming. He had not revealed them that Moses and Elijah would appear to them in glory. We can imagine that they fell asleep that time. But now they saw that Jesus began to be sorrowful and very heavy. They observed a very different kind of transfiguration. Above all, they heard his earnest request. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Be witness of my struggle. Be present and watch. Even if you cannot help me in any way, nevertheless, be here. What does the scripture say? Verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. How impressive. Could we imagine that a parent, instead of keeping the hand of the sick child in his own hand, would sleep? How desolate we would be if nobody would be willing to be present when we are preparing to go through a dangerous operation. Nevertheless, the disciples sleep. The only request for their presence and for help that Jesus ever did ask them, they do not fulfill. What is the answer that the disciples give to the Lord's question? They answer with sleeping. When Jesus is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death, they close their eyes. When Jesus fears the coming death and seeks for watchers, they sleep. Where is Peter with his brave language? Where is his heroic confession to be prepared to die for Jesus? How is his wholehearted dedication to Jesus visible? What is the worth of his zeal? It is not without reason that Jesus addresses him in special. Verse 40, he says to Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Peter, where is your boasting? Do I find any consolation from your promises? It is as if Jesus says, Peter, I do not ask you to die for me. I do not ask you to give your life. I only ask you to watch with me. I only ask you as a favor. Stay awake and see my agony. Watch with me and see what happens to me when I am prepared to die for you. When I have to pray with the drops of blood on my head, I only ask you to see it, to watch me and to watch with me. Peter promised things which Jesus did not ask. And what Jesus did ask, he does not fulfill. Such zealous promises lose their value if we do not do what Jesus asks. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. How is this in our own life? Maybe we are as zealous as Peter. We confess our dedication to the work of the Lord and to the church. We struggle for the orthodox doctrine. But how do we do this? Let us not be like Peter, who boasts, "Thou, all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Let us be sure that we do not cherish the secret thought that God needs our zeal. Jesus had a different request. Did we ever meditate on his suffering? Have we ever been a watcher with him? Have we ever been someone who sees his agony in our stead? Have we ever been helpless watchers? Indeed, helpless, but yet watchers. Or are we fallen asleep? We do not need to enter the depths where Jesus was. We do not need to have our own Gethsemane like Jesus. We even do not need to fathom what Jesus had to go through. Jesus does not ask from us the impossible. He does not demand too heavy things, for his yoke is easy, his burden is light. The only thing he asks of us, that we become silent, that we watch him, that we watch with him. Are we able to do that? No, we are not able. Before we realize it, we doze and we sleep. Maybe it would be a good question to ask ourselves if our zeal for the church and for the religion means to hide our spiritual drowsiness. Is the passion of Christ for us a sake of relevance? Or do we make promises to him which he does not ask, whereas we neglect our duty in watching? Jesus' request was to watch with him and to see his passion and agony. This congregation, this is the answer of the disciples. They sleep. Now we come to our third point. The first point was Jesus' request. The second, the disciples' answer. And now we come to our third point, the Father's answer. Dear congregation, what has this sight of the sleeping disciples meant for Jesus? You must notice that the scripture mentions here a second question of Jesus. This second question is not for his disciples, but for his Father. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Dear Father, could this cup pass from me? That is his question. What will be the answer? Will the Father respond to this question of his beloved Son? Yes, the Son does receive an answer. The Father does respond. What then is the answer? We do not read explicitly in the Bible that the Father answers. How then do we know the response of the Father? The sleeping disciples are the answer. Three sleeping men lay down at the feet of Jesus. He looks down upon them. Here is Peter, fiery in spirit, fast in speaking. He sleeps. Here is James, quiet, often at the background. He sleeps. Here is John, the disciple whom Jesus loves, the disciple who was at the bosom of Jesus even this night. He sleeps. Now Satan comes with his temptation to Jesus. Do you have to die for these men? Do you have to drink the cup of God's wrath because of these sleepers, these boasting men? Has it any sense to suffer for them? This temptation is the last one, the heaviest one. Father, let this cup pass from me. On this request to his Father, the sleeping disciples are the answer. To save these sleeping men, these boasting disciples, the cup cannot pass. Our third point, the Father's answer. We saw that Jesus did not ask his disciples to pray. Now comes his question for prayer. Verse 41. But still not as a prayer for him, but for themselves. Watch and pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Even now he does not ask them to pray for him. How overwhelming is his mercy and loving kindness. Even now, when he stands next to them, with the blood on his face, even now he thinks of them. Even now he warns them for temptation. He has plenty of reason for anger and indignation. Yet he is meek and mild. For he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, this means that even for us, there is hope. Am I better than Peter? Could I look down upon James? Am I wiser than John? If we know ourselves by grace, then we cannot boast. We cannot feel better. We then shall recognize that we too are weak in the flesh, that we too often sleep, that we too so seldom meditate the suffering and agony of Christ. We too so desperately need the prayer not to enter into temptation. Here Jesus' meekness is a reason for hope. We learn of him that he is meek and lowly of heart. We meet him here, not in anger and indignation, but being friendly and teaching. Then Jesus again goes away. Again he prays, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. This prayer is different. The sight of the dozing disciples has changed his prayer. Now is the emphasis no longer on the passing of the cup, but on the will of the Father. And again Jesus receives response. For we read in verse 43, again the disciples sleep. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Here we read that he leaves them sleeping. He stands next to them and he speaks no word. He looks down upon them in silence. Even his repeated admonition could not keep them awake. They sleep and Jesus leaves them sleeping. And for the third time, he goes to the place of prayer. And there he prays the same words, verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. What does this mean? Well, the repeating of the same words are, as it were, the amen of his prayer. Yes, Father, he says, as it were, yes, thy will be done. I will drink the cup of wrath for my sleeping disciples. I will bear the wrath instead of this boasting Peter, for James, for John, yea, for all who will believe in me. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Here we see that Jesus learnt obedience by the things which he suffered. This is what we read in Hebrews 5. Here he is shown to be fully obedient towards the will of his heavenly Father. Three times he prayed. After three times praying, the answer is definite. This hearing brings a change in Jesus too. Let us listen once more to what the scripture says in Hebrews 5, verse 7. He was heard in that he feared. This means he is freed from the fear. Now the agony and sorrow are gone. He stands up, strengthened in the Spirit. Again he reaches his disciples. They are still asleep. Now he stands next to them and speaks again. His words are different now, verse 45. Sleep on now and take your rest. Some expositors say that these words are punishing, as if Jesus wants to say them that they should go on with sleeping, for no admission helps, because it is senseless to ask them to stay awake. Yet I think this text has a deeper meaning. Sleep on now and take your rest. Does it not make a think of Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there not in these words something which we find in Psalm 4? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. It is true, a few moments later, Jesus says, "Rise and let us be going." But that is only to prevent that Judas and his army find the disciples sleeping. Jesus wants to spare his disciples that shame. But now, here in verse 45, Jesus' word to his disciples is, "Take your rest." Congregation, let's end this sermon with this. The most heavy night becomes the most holy night. The Savior Jesus Christ has said yes towards the struggle for us in our stead. Even when we cannot watch with him a single hour, yet he does not leave us. Our lukewarmness and our slowness do not diminish Jesus' love. Even the rest we take at the wrong moment, he has earned for us. In this period of remembering his passion, Jesus' request comes to us to become silent, to stand still, and to watch his suffering. So many things can take away our attention, but he asks us to pause for a moment, pause in a holy way. We need not do great things. He does not ask our sweat or our labor. He asks us to watch. Now a last word. Maybe also your eyes were heavy during this sermon. I cannot rebuke you any more than Jesus does. Let me be meek as he was. But take at least these last sentences home with you. What if you are not Jesus' disciple? What if you still do not believe in him? Then you are as one of the soldiers coming near to catch him, to hold him fast. What if you do still not believe in him? Then you are in danger of bearing the agony and sorrow yourself. Then the bloody sweat will drop from your own forehead. Then you will become sorrowful and very heavy. Not unto death, but into death, into everlasting, eternal death. Then there will be nobody to hold your hand. Then you will be desolate and desperate. All our labor for church and religion cannot save us. The only way to flee the coming wrath is to watch. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Christ does not ask our promises. He comes instead with his own promises. The only way to be saved is to rest. To rest upon the work of Christ. To rest upon his suffering and his sorrow. So listen today to the commandment of Christ. Take your rest. We cannot fathom the depth of Jesus' sorrow. We need not fathom the depths of his sorrow. We only have to be eyewitnesses of his suffering. We only have to rest upon his labor. Blessed are those who trust in him. Amen. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we come to thee and thank thee for the words we heard from your own word. We cannot enter into the relationship between the Father and the Son, but we heard the commandment for the relationship between Christ and his disciples. And we thank thee, Lord, that we do not need to have our own Gethsemane. We do not have to suffer the sorrow and the agony Jesus had to go through. He only asks us to watch with him. And we thank thee, Lord, for we could not in any way bear the wrath of God for our sins. And we thank thee, Lord Jesus Christ, that thou hast borne the wrath of God for all human, for all mankind, to take away the Lamb of God, the sins of the world. And Lord, we confess that even that request to watch with him we cannot fulfill. Even then we take our rest on the wrong moment, and yet we thank thee, Lord, for thy meekness, thy mild attitude towards us, and that thou hast taken the cup, and that thou give priority to the will of the Father to save sinners. Give that we believe in him, that we rest in his work and suffering. We thank thee for being together this morning, and we pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that we keep these words in our heart, and that we see the suffering of Jesus Christ and be glad for his work, which is ours when we believe in him. We pray thee, take away that which was not good in our service, in speaking or in listening. We pray, bless these things which were good, which were according to thy word. We pray, bring us together this evening to hear the word of God again, and give us what we need to come together again. We thank and pray thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.